Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
When people ask, is everything a conspiracy? The answer is yes.
Who and what is controlling everything and why? They practice sorcery. I can't argue against magic.
I don't know what it is that we live on, but I believe it's a realm. This realm that we live in is the lowest level of heaven, highest level of hell.
Chicken, snake gods, and the Anunnaki, and sorcery. If Sam says the chicken snake god is running everything, I'm literally in the world of crazy. I'm winning.
You're losing. Conspiracy Social Club, a.k.a. Deep Waters.
Oh, that light looks way better, right? Come on.
Fuck yeah.
You know what, dude? I want to tell you something, dude. I like to get vulnerable, bro. I like to get vulnerable, okay? I'm a knuckle dragger. I'm a provider, okay? Yep.
I
have my own fears, okay? One of my major fears, Brian, is clogging toilets. It is almost like fear of sharks, of the dark. Yep. I will flush 1,000 times.
Yep.
In order not to clog a toilet. If I'm at a gig and I clog a toilet, I will leave that gig. I will get in a car. I will drive to an airport, and I'll go to another state so they can't pin it on me. I have so much fear. I flush each time. If people are like, dude, either we start doing one flush or we run out of water, I'm like, well, goodbye the water, okay? Because I am never going to stop flushing. I have such fear of clogging toilets. It is and the toilet at my place is, like, so bad right now. It instantly clogs. So every time, it's like you were afraid of tarantulas. And every time you open the door, a giant tarantula shows. Like, that's every day in my house.
I remember a girl took shit in my friend's house. She was so hot. And she goes, the bathroom doesn't work. And he comes in later and she had left a brick, not a log, but a brick. And it was a disaster. Here's the thing.
Yeah, that ruins a relationship right there.
But toilet technology hasn't changed in over 100 years.
Dude, you are so right, dude. You are so right. It's like, why are we making advancements in this?
It's just so one of the other things about, like, so there are two things that haven't changed. One hasn't changed in 100 years. And, you know, because the sewage system, one of the wonders of the world, certainly in the modern world, is the fact that we are all sitting over pipes of shit. And there's, if you, any city you look at, please understand, you are sitting under a river of shit and piss and all that. What does a city do with its waste? What do human beings do with its waste?
Well, it's truly amazing.
Yeah, you know, farmers always had this issue. They would use this fertilizer to feed their pigs, all kinds of weird shit. But, you know, Literally. It's a big fucking problem. And one of the things that people never think about when they talk about tearing down our institutions and replacing them with this, that, or the other thing, is that, look, man, there is an infrastructure here, an electric grid and a sewage system that is so intricate, that is so complicated, and it's being run by competent invisible bureaucrats who do a really fucking good job, because man, water, I mean, sewage treatment that then goes out to the ocean, that's a very complicated, expensive job. And I always think about that stuff. My fear is that we fucking, somebody just stops doing that and we just get clogged with shit.
Yeah, if China really wants to fuck with us, they should fuck with our toilet system. Yeah. Then you'll have war. You want war?
Oh, dude.
You fuck with our shit.
That's right. That's what we do. That's one of the sick things about war is they shut down your electric, your water, and now you're just shitting in a cesspool. And what's even worse is the minute people have to live in their shit, holy you're talking about some of the worst diseases, period. Not so, just dysentery. I mean, everybody starts dying. Cholera, dysentery. I mean, rubella, crazy shit comes out. All these weird pathogens.
Here's the thing. It's a weird relationship between China and the U.S. because they're real quick, before we get into that, I want to talk. Okay. So it's a weird relationship between China and the U.S. because, you know, there's definitely some tensions. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's more with us, with them, the military industrial complex trying to rev us up, and the Chinese government. So it's not the people, once again, that have problems with each other. You go to China, the Chinese are so nice. They treat you like gold. From what I've been told from people I talk to, there is no drumming of war over there with us. They do not talk about World War III. They're not.
We're getting bombarded constantly. Yeah, there's no profit.
So it's like, once again, it's governments, right?
Yeah.
It's governments. But you could 100% fuck everybody up by just not making their poop go away.
Well, especially because a lot of this stuff is now run by computers, right? So now you could hit a reverse.
They hacked the shitter. That would be a line right there.
Shit starts flying back.
China's hacked our shitters. All of a sudden, septic tanks are fighting back.
They hacked our shitters. It's a great movie.
Hey, so Brian, so last night I was gigging with, you know, when we tried to do the podcast yesterday, it's with Howie Dewey, and he was talking about how funny you are. And we were talking about Dove Davidoff, and he told me, and I hope this is correct, that Dove's dad made a lot of money in the junk industry, owning a junkyard and stuff like that.
Yeah,
which is like kind of goes into what you were talking about cleaning up poop and how expensive that is. And like those jobs, like women are attracted to like doctors and lawyers, but man, if you get into junk and shit, ladies, find a man who makes a dollar in junk and in shit, you're going to be rich, bitch. Right. That's where the money is.
Fuck yeah. Dove's dad owned a junkyard and he used to hire convicts, so he didn't have to pay him as much, but he wasn't a bad guy. He was very generous. It was just that his life was a fucking shit show. They were working class Jews who came from like Eastern Europe. They lived in the Lower East Side. I mean, his dad had nothing, and they started on in a junkyard in Jersey, where they would collect fucking. They had all these like characters who'd be there, you know, who are convicts who couldn't find a job, so they'd work in the junkyard. And at one point, he hated when people would bring him coffee because he'd be like, you bring me coffee, you want money off your transmission. Keep your fucking coffee with your 50 cents. You know, he was one of those guys, right? His dad died of AIDS. His dad was actually gay. And his father died of AIDS. And when he was dying, Dove tells this incredible story. Dove's sitting there crying. And his dad goes, hey, stop crying. Look at this. Look at me. You see those guys on the roof over there? I've been watching them all day. They're stealing a copper from the roof. You go there right now and tell them that I want in. Or I'm going to call the cops. I want a piece. As he's dying, this is the guy. I want a piece. You tell him I got him. So Dove has to go out there. He's like, hey, guys, you're being watched. He's like crying. He's like, fuck, am I trying to work a deal? He's like, what am I doing? Fuck this, Dad. You're dying. And he grew up in such a wild way. His dad would smoke crack. At one point, his mother and his father got divorced. And his mother lived downstairs with a woman. A lesbian. She was in a lesbian relationship and the woman had a monkey. I mean, he grew up in the craziest way you can
imagine. So funny, dude.
That's why he's so funny. Now he's fucking up. Now he's killing it as a real estate guy. But also
I heard that.
He's amazing. Like, you and Dove are two of my favorite people.
It is a very interesting thing about that. I mean, like, nobody talks about plumbers. Oh, first of all, going back to Dove's dad, a lot of, you know, I'm not going to get into names, but, you know, there's been some comics who have passed. And I think a big part of their problem is they couldn't come to grips with their sexuality. And so they drown it in drugs. Yeah. And, you know, you've seen this where, like, certain people get lost in drugs because they're gay and they want to blame the drugs on why they're doing gay shit instead of being like, this is just who I am. And
well, also, you know, for Dove back then, you know, what was that? That was probably 30 years ago. You know, when you were gay back then, you know, you got married anyway to a woman, you had kids, but the whole time the guy's fucking gay, right? So that was sort of, I think, why you might be right, why he was smoking crack in the bathroom, you know. He's like, yeah, God, just, bathroom, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like, and this is Sam speaking, not Brian, but, you know, there's this whole controversy right now with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith. And, you know, I've heard so many rumors behind closed doors about their relationship. Like, there's a female comic out there who tells a story, and this is Sam speaking, about one of her first experiences was at the Roxbury in L.A., and she goes upstairs, and she turns around, and fucking Queen Latifah is finger-blasting Jada Smith, right? That's her first experience in Los Angeles. Straight up lesbian DJ and vaginas, right? And so there's always been this thing that there are couples in LA that kind of are gay, but they get married because it is a presentation to the rest of the country and the world that they are, you know, oh, they're this superpower couple. In reality, they're you know, it's a business deal. And they have kids together and all that stuff, which is fine. No big deal, even though they're very interesting children, to say the least. You know, now the whole controversy is that they were in a quote-unquote open relationship. And she's fucking everybody around her, which is, guys never talk about that, you know.
She's so hot. I find her very hot. You ever see her when she was younger? It's like, oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. All I look at when I think of Jada Pinkett and Will Smith is they've made that relationship last that long in Hollywood, like as Hollywood royalty. And I'm like, I don't know, whatever you're doing seems to work. So keep on keeping on.
But, he was supposed to do the Matrix.
What's that?
Will Smith was supposed to do the Matrix. Yeah. So I'm in New York, Brian Callen Enterprises. I'm in New York. And, man, New York is so interesting because you get here, you go, oh, I get it. I get why everyone loves it. Like, dude, if you're in your
20s. Chaos energy.
You're in your 20s. There's no better place to be.
No better place.
I couldn't come here because how much of a knucklehead, knuckle-dragger, like, just idiot I was in my 20s. Yeah. I would have burnt every bridge. Vegas was the only place I could go where I could just be a dumb fuck and not, like, you know, if a tree falls in Vegas and nobody hears it, does it make a sound right? When that was comedy back in the day, right? Like, so, but here I could get, I mean, dude, you just walk around, like, every variety of woman is here.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just every, whatever you want, long hair, short hair, blonde, blah. And you know who's got to be the richest human being in the world? Whoever invented yoga pants. It's got to be the richest human being on the planet. It is everyone. Women have made yoga pants like into like, you know, hey, I'm going to a wedding today. I'm going to wear yoga pants. To the airport. I'm going to wear yoga pants. Or I'm just going to fart around my house. I'm going to wear yoga pants. It is the Swiss Army knife of hot ass.
It's 100% true. Fucking what? I mean, Lululemon is a massive franchise because of yoga pants. Don't kid yourself. It's no other reason. And then they got the little like zipper things that kind of go with the yoga pants. I mean, my girl has those. That's all she wears. It's fucking.
Yeah. And it's like, don't tell me you don't want to show off your ass because there's, you know, who's got to be really angry is sweatpants. Sweatpants is the MySpace of fucking comfortable pants, right? Right? they like, what about us? We were the original. Nope, nobody wants you. Yoga pants here. Hello, Facebook.
Fuck, man. Sam, do you know, switching gears, that something like Rogan posts something about, like, I don't know, 9 out of 10 Christian chat rooms are actually Eastern European trolls on Facebook. Like the Eastern Europeans, Russians, and Chinese are so involved in trying to break us
apart. Ryan, this is crazy. You're bringing this up, man. This is crazy. I watched a video, and I'm going to let you finish your point.
That's all I was going to say. I want to hear. That's all I was going to say. Wait.
Dude, have you heard the theory of the internet is dead, the dead internet?
No.
That like 60% of the profiles and action on the internet are actually bots, that you're not really interacting with real people.
Yeah. Well,
so great example.
I keep forgetting, but I mean, if you talk to experts, but so much of the information out there, so much of the activity out there, so much of the division and people saying one thing or another isn't real. It is fucking being manipulated by foreign intelligence agencies.
Well, it's not just foreign intelligence agencies. It's just entities, corporations who want control of narrative, right? Yeah. And it's like DARPA's 100%. Part of that. And like they're all playing that game. And it's just basically like it's all about siloing, getting everybody into silos. And you know, and it's just, I'll send you this video that Eddie Bravo sent me. And the guy isn't like necessarily stating facts, but he's saying things that he's observed. And it's just
I don't know if you remember this, but when there was a big debate on whether or not after that, the San Bernardino shooting, they couldn't get into the guy's iPhone. And there was a big debate and Apple wouldn't allow him to get in either, because it was about a privacy thing. And there was a huge debate about whether or not law enforcement should have access to be able to get a backdoor into someone's phone if, say, you need information on them. Maybe they're a terrorist, maybe whatever. And it was a big debate. And the only people that were super quiet, you never heard a fucking thing from the NSA. The NSA was like, we're not involved in this conversation. Meanwhile, people are like, well, that's because they have a backdoor. That's because the NSA can get in your phone anytime they fucking want and everything else, you know? And so we know all this. We know for sure. The onion was peeled by Edward Snowden, but clearly, I mean, those agencies have the technology to get it.
So, Brian, when you do shows, do you get gifts from fans?
Yes. Yes, I
always get gifts from
I got fans. Three children's books and I got a painted eyeglass case. So
this was given to me by a fan. And he's like, here you go. This is yours. This is an encrypted. Wow. I hate this angle. By the way, I got my Groupon for my fat freezing. It's coming, Brian. I'll give you some updates.
I want to get into a conspiracy. I just read a book called The End of Craving. I want to talk about. What the fuck is that, Sam?
It's an encrypted fucking phone. He says it's totally encrypted.
He gave it to you?
Yeah. So this guy started. I'm talking to him about this new enterprise he's doing. But people in the truther community and anti-spying and all that stuff. Big fans of mine, dude. Big fans.
Why don't we start selling those?
I'm with you, dude. I'm supposed to talk to him today.
Conspiracy social club phones.
I'm in on that, bro.
Even though I'm not a conspiracy guy, I definitely would like to have an encrypted phone that people can't hack into and collect my data, because that is a real conspiracy. Dude.
So, Brian, the other day, just to let you know who you're dealing with here, how much of a fucking outlaw I am, okay? I got a ding, and they're threatening to take away my next Instagram account, which would be number two. Right, because I put a picture of fucking of Hillary Clinton's fucking camel toe on fucking Instagram, And then the picture was her standing there, a close up of her camel toe, and then a guy with hot socks trying to put it in his eyeball, right? Because he can't unsee that, right? They took it down. Do you know what reason they took it down for?
That's the funny thing I've ever heard in my life. What was the reason? Inciting violence?
They gave no reason. They like just said guidelines, and there was no reason. There was no reason stated.
That's one of the funniest memes I've ever seen in my life. Come on.
Dude, there are entire fucking YouTube pages, fucking channels, brands dedicated to women's camel toe.
But now you're on their fucking radar, and dude, they know what you're about.
Dude, sarcasm is dangerous.
Now they see an alt-right motherfucker who wants to tear down, who wants to cause some problems.
Well, January 6th. Like a lot of it right now, Brian, and I know that this is going to be the fun part of the show, so Hillary Clinton's lawyer has now been indicted by the FBI. For lying
for floating that Russian collusion story, that by being involved in that bullshit. I have a theory. I read a really interesting book that you and Anthony should read. It's called The End of Craving. And he looks at Bologna in Italy, Northern Italy. Northern Italy is known for not only frying a lot of its food, but eating very rich foods. People are skinny. They eat pasta. They eat all of it. But they're skinny.
Do they eat bananas?
They eat it all.
Okay. So Thank you, Anthony.
I didn't get that.
Yeah. Remember when you called me fat? Because I eat bananas?
Oh, bananas. Well, no, I don't mind eating bananas.
Is that what it was, Brian? You didn't understand my pronunciation?
Yeah, sorry. I thought you said, yeah, because you speak, I'm educated. So anyway, bananas.
I said banana, and you didn't understand I meant banana?
Yeah, well, I don't understand your upstate New York peasant vernacular. I'm a bit of an aristocrat. So bananas in moderation, as everything in moderation, are fine. Tomatoes, bananas. What was interesting is this guy, Mark Schatzker, who is a professor at Yale on, I'm going to find out what exactly he does. Hold on. It's really interesting. Hold on. Yeah. So Mark Schatzker he wrote The Dorito Effect and Steak. He is a writer in residence at the Modern Diet and Physiology Research Center at Yale University. And what Schatzker realized, what he studied, was that the food industry creates foods that are empty in calories. Okay? They're empty in calories, but they keep you craving the food. So Doritos have chemicals in them that have no real calories. And so what you do is you will eat the entire bag because it's full of things like maltodextrin and different compounds, which are starch compounds that they make in labs, that actually make you, they fill you up, but they don't send a signal to your brain that you're full. So let me give you an example. One of the reasons you should never drink diet soda, I guess, is that when you drink these artificial sweeteners, they confuse the brain. And the brain starts to, like, you can eat all this food that's an empty calorie with certain kinds of chemicals they put in there. And it tricks your brain because your brain doesn't feel really full. You just get a craving for something else. Okay? Creates this chemical reaction. When you eat, so if you drink soda that what's really fascinating is your taste buds, when you eat natural, simple foods, a banana, a piece of steak, maybe a yam, what happens is you taste that food and your mouth, it's really fascinating. Your mouth has the ability to kind of understand, it sends a signal to your stomach and your body. And your body and your mouth kind of assimilate the calorie count. And it's a process that allows you to ingest food and then feel full when, I guess, the taste correlates with calories in nature. So when you eat a half a yam and a piece of steak, it's simple, but you're full and you eat, you've eaten plenty, and your body is regulating temperature perfectly. Okay. I don't know if this is getting too complicated, but no, but here's what's fascinating.
You're not that complicated.
Bro. So here's what's fascinating. When you drink a diet soda, or you drink a soda that has a certain sweetener that correlates with the calories, so it's 75 calories, your body's fine with it. But there are things that are 150 calories, but they taste like something else, and your body will not even digest the 150 calories. Your body, your brain doesn't register it and doesn't tell, because there are the calories and the taste, the calories and the sweetness don't correlate. They don't fucking correlate. So that shit will sit in your bloodstream the way oil sits on water. Fat and things like that will literally sit on your bloodstream like that and circulate through your body. And before you know it, you've got all these calories that your body isn't even digesting. It doesn't even know what the fuck to do with. So one of the reasons people get obese and really fat is this crazy thing. It's this crazy fucking sort of weird thing. So we've paid a huge price for artificial sweeteners and artificial calories like maltodextrin and all these different starches made in labs. And because your body does not recognize that kind of food. And as a result, you throw off your entire metabolism and your digestion and everything that your body does to regulate calories. If you eat normal food, if you eat regular food, what happens is your body, even if you eat a lot, your body will start to, like, you'll go back to your natural weight. You look at this, watch this. Corn, vegetable oils.
Hold on, before you read this, I just want to say one thing. The reason, Brian, so crazy you bring all this up, because I was just thinking about this today, because I saw this, different versions of what Anthony has up on the screen. And it's basically, and this goes down to healthcare, okay? So if you take a look at what Anthony's showing you right now, this is Doritos in the United States versus Doritos in Europe, okay, or the UK. And what you'll see is what is in the ingredients in the United States is much different than the UK. And you go, why is that? And for me, and I'd love to hear your attention, is so – I'm not for socialized healthcare. I'm not for government healthcare. This is not an argument for that. What I'm showing here, okay, is why is Europe have certain ingredients and the United States has different ingredients. And this goes back to something I've always said about Canada. Like when I go to Canada, I see the women there, their skin is so beautiful. And you're like, they just look healthier. And you're like, why is that? Well, because socialized medicine, and again, I am not for, I'm for free market healthcare. That's a different discussion. But socialized medicine, it's all about keeping costs down, because it's ran on a different system where it's not meant to make profit. It's meant to keep costs down. Whereas our system is incentivized to get us sick and unhealthy so that we go to the doctor, so we go and get medication, all that stuff. So when you take a look at the ingredients in our food versus Canada and Europe, this is what you see.
Part of it also is that Europeans and Canadians and stuff, but especially Europeans, have such a tradition of food that they've always been very suspicious of food made in a lab, very suspicious, and they should be, and so should we. Because again, when scientists are in a lab making the food you put in your body, and your food is being made in a giant factory like this, and if you have things like maltodextrin, which you can see here, and you have rapeseed oils that your body cannot deal with, they cannot deal with this. When you've got things like cornstarch and lactose whey, corn syrup solids, your body cannot digest that, and it doesn't recognize it because it isn't fucking food. it fills you up. And this goes for protein bars and all that other bullshit. If you eat natural food as it occurs, simple foods, man, which is what Europeans do. Italians are, you start fucking with their food. That's why they have so many regulations. They lose their fucking mind. They lose their mind, and they should, because they know that health starts and ends with sleep, sunshine, lack, less stress, and food. We eat, the way we eat in this country is a form of collective madness. If you ever want to know how stupid and crazy people can be, but lemmings falling off a cliff one after another, it's because of how we eat in this country. We are absolutely crazy, and we're still bedeviled by obesity. Why? Well, because this food you are putting in your body is fucking, the food industry has to make money off of food. You cannot make money just selling basic food like sweet potatoes, steak or whatever. You got yogurt. No, you have to put 15 ingredients in Go-Gurt for the kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because it tastes super sweet, and that's how you make money on it. So the food industry, like a lot of these industries, is incentivized to create unhealthy,
assholes,
crave-worthy food, and that's how you stay in business. So one of the things that this guy Mark Schatzker has really kind of like, you know, opened up. You know, it's called The End of Craving. It's coming out in November. Is
would you get a sneak peek?
We have lost the wisdom of eating. The way your grandfather, my grandfather, and people before them ate was simple. They cooked it
so crazy,
in a chicken. I mean, in a kitchen. and so if you want to start losing weight, stay the fuck away.
You can take that off, Anthony.
What,
dude? This is so crazy. I was just you are inside my mind. Because I am a crazy person.
And I'll be in your ass soon, too. Keep going.
Yeah, Brian. That's going to be the big 100th. We
made you a power bomb.
Loser gets topped. Winner gets topped, okay? Because that's how it's going to go. Winner gets topped. Whoever wins the wrestling match.
As long as I get my poppers, my anus.
But I was just thinking about that. Like, how have we gotten to where we are health-wise with our food? And everything comes down to, they have done this incrementally, very, very slowly. It is not done quickly. It's done over decades, tiny, tiny, tiny bit. It's almost like you're in your house, right? And you have somebody in your house that are trying to fuck with you. And every day, they just switch out a little thing, just tiny, nothing big. Maybe it's a toothbrush here, a fucking a picture there. It's over time. You're like, what? Everything seems a little different, but it's done over time, so you don't see it. And that is 100% what is going on with our food, man. You know, people show pictures of the beach, right? The beach in the 70s versus the beach today, and how people look in the 70s. There wasn't a lot of fat people. And now you look, and it's like everywhere.
So a lot of that is also, there's a book called Good Calories, Bad Calories by Gary Taub, which kind of traces that too, which was that along came a guy named Ansel Keys and a couple of other food scientists who were like, hey guys, you got to start eating more fiber, less fat. And that ushered in. And it also came in when discovery of vitamins in food, because people would get pellagra. Pellagra is basically your skin gets brown and flakes off, and then your teeth fall out and you die. You that go
sounds
crazy.
Sounds like some Croatian martial arts.
It may as well be, because it takes a long time, but basically entire villages would succumb to it because they were eating cornmeal and molasses, and they lived on that because they didn't have money. And so nobody knew what was going on. They didn't know that there were vitamins in food. It didn't dawn on to eat, you know. And then, of course, you'd go to certain parts of the world where they were cooking and there was a whole thing and they were very healthy. So especially indigenous people, like when you would see the Maasai or the Kikuyu of Africa or whatever, they live essentially on high fat milk from their animals, and they would drink the blood from their animals. So they were crazy healthy. The first thing Hemingway said when he went to Africa was, I couldn't believe their skin. They were so beautiful and athletic and tall. I mean, the Maasai would walk around and they'd be 6'6" and broad. And it was like, how the fuck, or the Blackfoot Indians, the Nez Perce Indians, the Native Americans, and some tribes that basically were really master hunters. And they ate so well. They ate so well, especially the ones that when the Comanche and the Apache and the Sioux in general would follow the buffalo with their horses, and they were nomadic and they lived off buffalo, and they were healthy motherfuckers. So much of what happens is, as technology advances and we figure out ways to, you know, break down, the big mistake we make is that we think that you can take the oils, for example, in fish, right? And be like, it's omega-3s. Let's just put a bunch of omega-3s in bread now. Well, no, nature has a weird way of assimilating food. Don't break it all apart. Why are you looking at yourself right now, dude?
I'm just looking at my thick neck, bro.
You got a neck on you.
Do you feel like you're podcasting with Brandon again when you see my thick neck?
I just think to myself, when you were a kid in school, it must have been impossible for your teachers. You have worse ADHD than me or my 10-year-old, and I have bad ADHD. You can't read. No wonder you've never read, gotten through the first chapter of a book. You're like, anyway.
I do, dude. I have so many books. I just don't want to read with all good intentions.
I love it.
100%, Brian. Brian, so I had Brian, there's so many people I want to bring on the show, but I just think because you have a white belt in truth.
But I keep crushing all your guests.
You do not, Brian. Brian, conga lines on your butthole, okay? So I want to bring in this guy that there's a theory, Brian, that space is not empty, but it's actually plasma.
Okay, before you go on.
Electric universe.
Has he ever taken one day of physics?
Has he ever been
to college?
This dude's done research, and guess what else he's done? Wrote a book.
Love
people who write books.
One thing
about writing, books.
One thing I know about that book is that Sam Tripoli's never read it.
Dude, I'm trying, Brian. I'm trying.
Yeah, I love you. I know. And I want you to try.
Brian, what are you talking about? You don't read, you listen to books.
Maybe I'll read the book and I'll I read this one. Maybe I'll listen to the book and I'll
find it. Did you actually read it, Brian? Brian, show me where you crumpled the page so you know what page you're on. Show me that. That book is too clean.
I read this entire book in a 4-hour sitting on the plane.
You read how many pages?
Almost 200.
You read 200 pages in 4 hours.
Yeah, 5 hours, probably 5 hours. Yeah.
Brian, what is that on your wall? Is that Brian Callen money shots on the wall behind you?
You know what, dude? I do.
Is that where you miss fucking Kid Dynamite?
I come in chrysanthemum.
Is that a drive-by? Is that a drive-by jizzing?
Yep. I just jump in the air and I just go, this is for you, America. And I leave it there.
And you're just hitting walls?
Yep. That's right.
Brian, how were your shows last night?
Killer, man. So
Brian, you're one of the best out there. You're one of the best to ever do it.
So are you, buddy. And I'm having a blast doing them. And then I got another show. I got two shows tonight. I think one of them sold out. It's hard now with COVID and stuff. But I mean,
you know, Bill Maher, for as much chaos and craziness as he's done in the past, he's kind of opened up and he's talking about how, like, blue states don't sell tickets, man. It's hard to sell a ticket in a blue state.
Fuck blue states. And not only that, this vaccine mandate shit. Look, my daughter.
Ryan, what's going on with Newsom?
All the kids at the kids 12 mandatory vaccines. You know, it's unbelievable. If you are not vaccinated and you know in school right now, and you're in proximity of any other kid who has COVID, you have to quarantine for 10 days. I just got to know this from my fucking school. My daughter's been exposed. My daughter got the vaccine. When she was fucking 13, which, you know, I don't know. She seems to be totally fine. But at the same time, it's like, you know, it's killed no children. So don't tell me it's killed children worldwide. Yeah. It's killed no children.
Well, here's the problem with Newsom, brother. Someone tweeted this. He literally has said he's not mandating prison guards to get the vaccine. You know why? Because they fucking gave so much money to a Stop the Recall campaign. So he's like, really? Yeah, they don't need it. They don't need it. But kindergartners do. You fucking scumbag. I mean, it's just like, this dude is scorching the earth. This is what you get. When you, I mean, all these fucking white chicks voted for this pretty scumbag. And right. What is he doing? He's fucking punishing you.
That's right. I agree with him.
Zero kindness, bro. Zero kindness. It's like, and it's like, I can't, I'm just, all I want to do, like, you know, I'd love to get Jimmy Dore on the show one time to
Let's
talk
get him
about because this is a guy, this is
Have
a dude
come on. Let's talk to
who
him.
Has really like opened his eyes to a lot of things. A very open mind. Like, he's like me now, dude. I mean, he doesn't go as deep in the conspiracies. He will eventually, but at this point he doesn't. But he's like very much like, I'm a liberal. The Democrats don't fucking share my values. And he's told, and that's what you guys get. Nobody's saying you gotta like Republicans. I don't like Republicans. It's just like, don't sit there and tell me we gotta vote for Democrats when they do not hold your values.
Correct. You are correct. They don't. And part of those values are the notion that, you know, having a respect for tradition, authority, sanctity, all those things, man. It's like, yeah, fairness, yeah, equality, but there are other factors out there. You know, this is a great country for a lot of reasons, and mainly it's because of freedom. Mainly it's because we don't need you as a fucking government tyrant telling me what to do with every aspect of my fucking life. And a lot of these far left progressives love Europe and want to turn us into Europe because they're too dumb to understand history and way too dumb to understand why we lead the world in innovation in all aspects of the game, from
100%
technology.
Right.
And it's because of the profit motive and there's incentive to do it.
Yes.
And you can make money off your own risk taking and your own ingenuity. And these motherfuckers want to equalize the playing field and they scream things like tax the rich. What are you talking about? You guys don't work in the real world. You guys came straight from college.
And you have accountants. These kids have accountants. Their parents get them accountants. Their parents have accountants that know how to fucking get around these taxes. You're not taxing any elite. You're taxing businesses. You're fucking the businesses over.
It's rich white kids, dude, for the most part.
And here's the thing, Brian. You look at all these. There's so many socialist countries right now that are straight up abandoning any COVID protocols. You look in Europe, they're like, nope, we're off of COVID protocols.
Meanwhile, we're still wearing masks in fucking LA.
Dude, go to New York, dude. There's mask people. They're not telling you gotta wear masks. Nowhere else but LA are they doing mask protocols. It's unbelievable. And this fucking piece of shit, now with this vaccine for kids, kindergarten, that's not happening, man. It's not. It's like, this is the time we rise. Now, have you seen what's going on in Europe? And by the way, Anthony, is my audio okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Have you seen what's going on with Australia? Their premier stepped down. The people are pushing back now. Premier just stepped down because they're doing this fucking ridiculous fucking overreach on this COVID protocols. This isn't about like a disease of a virus anymore. This is an attempt to completely and utterly put in social credit score, which is what this is about. Did you see Trudeau's speech? He's like, we're going to reward you when you do the right things. That is social credit score.
I agree. He's a piece of shit. Trudeau's a
piece of shit.
But they're voting these wolves in sheep's clothing into office. Because they speak well and they look good. Beware.
Yeah, because they're fuckable, right?
They're fuckable, dude.
Girls like fucking bad boys and retards. They're fuckable retards. That's what these guys are. They're fuckable retards. And I'm sorry, man, but it's like white women over 35, find one in California that said she didn't like Gavin Newsom. Find them. They're like unicorns.
I agree.
You can't find. They're like, oh, no, he's cute. Oh, no, I don't like the Republicans. This isn't about Republicans, man. I voted for a recall. I didn't vote for one Republican. I didn't vote for any of these fucking scumbags. Anybody who wants the ring is a fucking scumbag to me. So I don't fucking trust you. Right? Doesn't want the job. He's like,
I'm beginning to agree on all that. It's the ambitious people in life that have been, in many ways, are the most disappointing. They're just the most selfish. Like the ones that are when you get that successful, you got that successful a lot of times because you're a fucking, you don't give a fuck about power. Yeah, anything but power.
I mean, we've seen it in the comedy community. How many of these fucking people just are slicing people's throats for just a fucking gig? And it's like, at the end of the day, this is the thing, Brian. At the end of the day, all that your IMDb doesn't mean jack shit if you didn't make a connection with a fucking human being. Did you make a connection with a human being?
That's right.
Did you? Because if you didn't, you didn't do this fucking right. Now, full disclosure.
Did you make a connection with a human being, and did you eat natural, simple foods? Walnuts, blueberries, fish, steak, that kind of stuff, guys. Yams. Sorry, Sam. Rice is fine.
What? Dude, why do I give a fuck when I'm dying if I ate yams or not?
Dude, eat soda bread. Spelt flour is where it's at. Mix it with fucking buttermilk, and you got yourself a nice, toasty, tasty piece
of
thick bread.
You like hunting, Brian? Are you a hunter?
Yeah.
You like to kill animals? Do you feel bad at all?
Watch this. Ask me if I like to hunt again. Watch this.
You like to hunt again?
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Damn.
Yeah.
Right. I have to write you a movie. We have to write you a movie.
I am a hunter.
You are a hunter. We want to write you a movie, dude. Yeah, dude. I'm thinking about getting on the farm. The only problem I have with a farm is that I got to do a lot of lawn mowing. When I look at all these acres, I'm like, who's going to fucking do that lawn?
I think we should buy large plots of land or just a plot of land and grow our own food.
Brian, dude.
Raise our own fucking.
So I want to get a bug out house in Chattanooga where we all just bug out there because that's where all the water is.
By bug out, do you mean? Fuck each other?
No, I do not mean bug out. That's called bug in. That's bug in.
Okay, I don't know.
Or a bugger.
Sure.
If we're British.
Gotcha.
By the way, did we talk about the how many times have I told the story where I went to fucking London with Brian and he took us to the gay district of London? I'm like, why are we at the gay district, Brian? And then you disappeared.
I didn't know. I knew nothing.
Brian, you are the best. Brian Callen's family is so nice. They let us stay at their house. It was so nice.
My sister, my brother-in-law. Sam, I'm going to go back to bed here. I'm in Chicago. I love you.
Hey, did we do an hour?
Anthony, how much time are we done?
It's like 50 minutes.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Wow.
You know what? But it was a packed 50. Is action packed?
Are you a fight fan? Are you looking? Do you know what's going on with the boxing world? Caleb Plant, Canelo.
Yeah, dude. So did you see that fight, Brian? Did you see that press conference?
Oh yeah.
Between them, you're Caleb Plant, what are you thinking right now? You swung, missed. He hit you and fucked your face up.
Caleb Plant does not care about Canelo Alvarez, and he's not afraid of him.
But look at that, dude. You swung, he moved, you missed, he hit you, and now cut your face.
Yeah, that's that is true. You gotta wear some headgear right now. You gotta stitch that up. But at the end of the day, it'll be fine. And Caleb Plant is everybody thinks Caleb Plant's gonna get slaughtered. And I think Caleb Plant is an outstanding boxer who, if he fights a good game here, could go the distance. Will he win?
Brian, we didn't talk about Anthony Johnson lost again.
Yeah.
Well, he's Anthony a fucking Johnson, badass man.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Usyk, who's not lost. I don't think he's lost. He was a gold medalist in the Olympics. I think the last time he lost was when he was 16 years old. I mean, Usyk is one of those extreme winners. He's a natural cruiserweight. He's now 220. And I think what happened with Johnson was, number one, he might be too rich, too good looking, too much of a superstar to have the hunger against a Ukrainian badass. But also, Usyk is so fucking technical and so good, and you can't figure it out.
You know what's so funny? You remember when Floyd Mayweather was making fun of MMA and about how he didn't respect it because all their champions are white guys? He's like, they're all white guys. And if you look at boxing now, it's all white guys. Because there's some, like, there's a level of twitch that the Black American athlete has that when focused, you can't touch it. You just can't touch it. It's just a natural speed and athleticism that is unparalleled, right? But
well, that's super racist, but I know what you mean. Like, what you're saying is that when it comes to certain sports, like sprinting, for example.
Hold on, stop. Why is that super racist?
Well, dude, because
Chris Rock did a whole joke on it.
No, I know. But boxing, tennis, there are a lot of sports where your fast twitch muscle don't get you to the championship, you know, at the same time. But yeah, I mean,
it's just like what we're learning right now is that the truth is, it's like, you know what's really important in athletics? You gotta have obviously athleticism, but hunger and discipline
technique,
you're seeing technique. Can overtake like pure athleticism.
Well, that's why Bernard Hopkins was fighting until he was 50 and beating everybody in the world, not because he was faster. He was never faster or stronger than any of those guys. He was just a fucking genius. He was just a strategic genius. Floyd Mayweather, in a lot of ways, is similar. But now you got these Russians, like you're right, like Peter Yan, 135-pound division. You got Usyk. You got Lomachenko. These guys, look, David Benavidez. You've got fucking Canelo Alvarez. You got these dudes who are such incredible technicians. They're such technicians. And the difference is in literally inches and half inches. But where they put their feet, where their head is literally
discipline, dude. It's discipline.
Yeah, it is. It's they've been working those patterns for so long the right way. You're talking about Usyk is a practicer of deep practice under perfect tutelage. You're not beating a dude like that. And also, he's a killer. You see that, the look in his eye? He's a fucking killer. He's a killer.
When you get to a certain level, Brian, when you get to a certain level of athleticism, everybody is fucking top shelf, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Everybody at that level could probably take your punch, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
What comes down to is discipline. Like, do you have the discipline when things start getting a little rocky, when you're going into the deep waters of the championship round?
Can you change it up when they figure you out? Can you? Anthony Johnson didn't change anything up. He was just throwing that jab and that right, and it was so strange to me because whoever his coaches were, I don't think they knew how to solve the problem. That southpaw in Johnson's face was doing things, never stopped moving, always bobbing, always weaving, always fainting, always in there. You don't know where his head is
when you're
trying to do shit, and then he's making you pay every time you throw. Every time you throw, he was always winning that corner. He always had he was always outside of Anthony Johnson's foot. So Anthony Johnson was always right in line with his right hand. You're not fucking with a guy like that. It's crazy. I want to see if Deontay Wilder, with his new trainer, can use his jab to keep Tyson Fury away from him so he can set his right up. Because if Tyson Fury crowds him,
is if you look at who's the white guy? What's his name again? Tyson Fury, who I saw that fight, the first one, live at Staples Centers. It was unbelievable. But dude, he's a punch and Judy. Have you seen how long his arms are, dude? His arms are so long. And that is a big problem for Wilder. He does not have the arm length he has to be in closer because his arms aren't as close.
No, actually Wilder's 6'8". Believe me, Bubba, Wilder's arms are super long. And believe me when I tell you this, nobody in the heavyweight division, let me say this again, let me actually back up. No one in boxing, and this would be Teddy Atlas's words, No one in boxing hits as hard as fucking Deontay Wilder.
No shit. No shit, but the whole time he's getting tagged from the outside by a pure boxer.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. That's the thing about Tyson Fury. He's such a good boxer. He's such a well-schooled boxer. What we're seeing
right now is these pure the return of boxing versus fighters in boxing.
Well, another thing about boxers, I'll tell you, it's not about punching. A lot of guys can punch. It's where you're punching from. Where are your feet? Where are your feet?
Ryan, have you seen the – will you look up UFC 287 that's coming up? Dude, this lineup in November, I think, 8th,
it's sick.
So insane.
It's sick. You've got Rose Namajunas with Zhang Li, too. You've got – I mean, it's
you got such Usman a – Usman versus Kobe.
Kobe Covington.
I've met him in person. Nice guy. Quiet dude. Nice dude. Yeah. This lineup is nuts.
Yeah.
Look at that, dude.
Chandler Gay Justin Gaethje
versus Chandler? That's a brawl, bro.
Oh, yeah. Luke Rockhold. The return of Luke Rockhold, my boy, against Sean Strickland.
Ryan, you look like if you and Luke Rockhold were staying together, you guys are like fucking the movie Twins. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Oh, yeah. You're Danny DeVito. You guys look more alike than each other.
Wait, Anthony, stop. What I don't like seeing is Frankie Edgar fighting Marlon Vera. I don't know when Frankie is going to retire. I love Frankie Edgar, and I don't want to see him take any more punishment.
Well, he's the last of the old school. If you really look at him, he's the last of the golden days of UFC, the old days.
And he's great. I just don't want him getting hurt. And I
mean, dude, this guy was fighting back when Chuck Liddell was fighting.
I know, dude. I know. He fought Jose Aldo. I mean, he's one of the greats of all time. But, you know, guys like this will go out on their shield, and I think they have to be protected from themselves. I don't want to
see. And Vera's good. Isn't Vera the guy that beat your boy?
Marlon Vera is a monster. He was a champion. He's a monster.
Did he beat your boy Sugar Shane?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Sugar lost his foot in that. His foot went dead.
A great fighter, but like that guy's good, dude. How's he ranked 13th?
Marlon Vera is?
Yeah. Go down a little more.
I thought Marlon Vera. These are some,
okay, dude. I don't want anybody to win the man bun fight. I want that to be a double DQ.
Yep. There you go.
Now, if you're the manager of Alex Pereira, don't you send the UFC a picture of your fighter? Don't you go, hey, do you mind putting up his picture? Unless this guy, what is this, Andre's shadow boxing? What is it? Who's he fighting?
Dude, look at Ally Aquinta and Bobby Green.
That's going to be a good one.
What is Al's ranking and what's Bobby Green's ranking? Are they fighting 55?
They're unranked. They're unranked. It's a lightweight bout.
Really? Bobby Green is are they fighting at 55 or 70?
55.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And dude, how is Al Aquinta unranked when he went fucking deep with Khabib?
You know, he got choked out by what's his name. It's a long haul, man. It's a long haul. That was it. I think he was fighting at 70, then it came down to 55. It's hard. Al Aquinta, for him to get down to 55, I mean, that guy walks around at 190. That's not easy, dude.
You go down to Jordan Williams. Look at this guy's got a lot going on, right? Frosted tips, fucking
a lot.
Bubble wrap tattoos. Like, what's going on here?
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot.
All right, boys. Daddy's going to go back to bed. I love you guys.
Chris, hey, dude. I was talking, but that's fine. Guys, I got dates, bro. I got dates. I got
home. Tell us where you're
going to
be.
And I've got dates.
Tell us where you're going to be.
Dude, I'm going to – this. I don't know when it's going out, but I just added Miami, guys. The Tinfoil Hat 500th is very quickly approaching us. We're past the point of sold out, but we added tickets. So if you want to get in, grab it now. And then there's tickets still left for the stand-up show afterwards. So come get weird, my friends. SamTrimley.com for all my dates. Miami, daddy's coming. Me papi.
Yeah, papi. Columbus Money Bone. October 8th and 9th. I'll see you there. Let's go. Let's go, Columbus. Let's go. Fucking Columbus Funny Bone.
Dude, you're such a man, dude.
Come on, Columbus. Let's fucking go. You want to see this in person? You're not ready for this. I'm fucking ready.
All right. Love you guys. Take care.
See you, boys.
Love you. Thanks, Anthony. Bye, guys.
See you, guys.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.